Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Last Sunday, we started looking at victories in the Bible. And what we're going to look at over the next few weeks are various victories. Now, they may be spiritual victories. They may be a victory in a certain battle, in a physical battle, in a spiritual battle, a mental battle. And last week, by way of introduction, we looked at Paul's victorious life. And we saw that Paul was victorious because of his motivation in the Lord. He was victorious because of his commission from the Lord. He was victorious because of his attention on the Lord. And he was victorious because of his evacuation by the Lord. And we can have victorious Christian lives. We've been saved to have the victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can be and should be victorious Christians. And there are many situations and circumstances that we face where sometimes we just feel a little defeated. We feel a little deflated. And oftentimes, circumstances can get the better of us. But we don't need to use our circumstances as an excuse to live a defeated Christian life. I'd like to look at Joseph tonight in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 39, and see how Joseph had the victory over the circumstances in his life. Similar to Job, it wasn't just one obstacle that Joseph had to overcome. It would seem like he would get over one obstacle, and then no sooner he got over that obstacle than another one was thrust in his path. And Joseph didn't allow the obstacles in life to cause him to be defeated. He was victorious over his circumstances. So we look at Genesis 39, and we'll read the first 12 verses, and then we'll go back and forth a bit between 37 and I think through to 40. So verse 1 of Genesis 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass that the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we have to open up your word. And Father, we are thankful for the fact that the victory has already been won for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That price was paid upon Calvary. That hill was conquered. But Lord, help us to live those victorious Christian lives. Father, we recognize the fact that victory does not mean that we are without any battles whatsoever. The victory in our lives is because of our battles, in spite of our circumstances, not by the absence of difficult circumstances. So, Father, we pray that you'd help us to see how Joseph was victorious over the circumstances in his life and that we might take a leaf from his book, and that we might learn the lessons that he learned through his various difficulties. So, Father, we just pray tonight now you would speak to our hearts, whatever the need is of those here in the church or those listening online. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us, encourage us, equip us, and just enable us to be the victorious Christians you've saved us to be. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So when you look at Joseph, you see that Joseph's life is one of intense battles. And we also see that because of those battles, Joseph had incredible victories. Now, we understand that these weren't battles with armies. The battles he had to fight were battles of the heart, battles of the mind, battles of the soul. Joseph struggled mentally, physically, and emotionally. But he won those struggles. He was victorious. When his brothers beat him up and threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery, that would have been a good enough excuse for anybody to kind of throw in the towel. But we see that Joseph was victorious in the fact that he was rejected. So he had victory over rejection. Joseph was the favorite son. Can I just say this tonight? I know what the other 11 brothers felt like. It's hard when the other one is the favorite. It's difficult. I don't know, do you feel that way, girls? I don't know, Sarah's the favorite, okay. So I know how difficult that is. Katie the favorite? Yeah, definitely, okay. So I know what that feels like when the other one is the favorite. You couldn't do anything wrong. He almost burned our house down, lighting the pampas grass. And Mum and Dad just turned a blind eye and did nothing. Anyway, by the by. Joseph was the favorite. I don't know, it's got nothing to do with the message. I just got to get this off my chest. Joseph was the favorite. And Jacob made that plainly known. He obviously was the firstborn of his first love. Joseph had a special place in Jacob's heart, but the brothers were jealous. They hated Joseph, and especially when he told them of his dreams that one day he would be the one that would come to a position of power and preeminence over them. And they didn't like that. So they rejected him. They sold him into slavery. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 27, it says, Judah said, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. They were content to sell him into slavery. They were content to get rid of him. It didn't matter where he went. They didn't know that Joseph would be taken down to Egypt. They just wanted him as far away from them as possible. Joseph was rejected. But Joseph had the victory over that rejection. Why? Because he learned not to look at his circumstances, but to look at things from God's point of view. Joseph didn't dwell upon his grief because he focused upon God. He said to his brothers years later in Genesis 45 and verse 5, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And the Lord sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not that you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. 3 times Joseph said, God sent me. He was rejected by his brothers, but he recognized God's hand even in the rejection. God will direct our paths. You know, there's many different ways that we can be rejected. And I'm not just talking about like a relationship that doesn't work or a friendship that doesn't work. There's many ways that we can be rejected in life. Whether you've been rejected for a promotion, whether you've been rejected because of your faith, whether you've been rejected in a particular relationship, there are many ways in which we can be rejected. And sometimes we feel like those rejections would destroy our lives. Let me ask you this question. How many of them, maybe in school, you know, young teenage love type of thing, and the very first boyfriend, girlfriend that you ever had, and that didn't work out, and you thought that was the end of the world. But God had a far better. Let me tell you something. If I stayed with the first person I ever went out with, I never would have met Joe. And if I'd never met Joe, it was Joe who took me to church, and through her church and me hearing the gospel being preached, that I got saved. Can I say this to you? And I don't know if I say this now with Joe not being here. She'd be at home now, she'd be camping. But I'm glad I was rejected back in school, you know, when you thought, all you wanted was a girlfriend. I'm glad. Because I met Joe. And through that, those rejections of a past relationship or whatever, I met the love of my life. And because of that, I came to know the Lord as my Savior. Now, at the time, you don't see God's hand in things, because all you can see is the difficulty that you face right there. Maybe you were rejected for a promotion. You've no idea where that promotion would have taken you. Maybe that promotion would have taken you further away from the Lord than by staying where you were. You know, maybe that promotion would have caused you to miss more church. Maybe that promotion would have caused you to be busier, to not have any time for your Bible reading, or not to have any opportunities to witness. At the time, we don't understand why we're rejected, why a particular relationship doesn't work out, or why a particular job opportunity hasn't come to pass. But we have to be willing to follow the Lord. The good steps, Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Joseph was victorious over the rejection because God was with him. We read that, didn't we, in chapter 39 and verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was with him in the house. He was with him in part of his house. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And in verse 5 of Genesis 39, and it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, for the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord is upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Can I say this? That if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord is with you. And he'll order your steps. You know, oftentimes we feel like a particular rejection on our path in life is the end of the world. And that's, you know, that's the worst news we could ever receive. But we need to realize that God is with us. And if we trust him as much as we say that we trust him initially, then we'll allow him to direct our paths. We'll allow him to direct our steps. Campbell Morgan was one of 150 men who sought entrance to the Wesleyan ministry in 1888. He passed the doctrinal examinations and then faced a trial sermon. In a cavernous auditorium that could seat more than 1,000 people, there sat three ministers and 75 others who came to listen. When Morgan stepped into the pulpit, the vast room and the searching, critical eyes caught him up short. 2 weeks later, Morgan's name appeared among the 105 rejected for the ministry. Jill Morgan, his daughter-in-law, wrote in her book, A Man of the Word, he wired to his father the one word, rejected, and then sat down to write his diary. Very dark everything seems. Still, he knoweth best. Quickly came the reply, rejected on earth, accepted in heaven. Dad. In later years, Morgan said, God said to me in the weeks of loneliness and darkness that followed, I want you to cease making plans for yourself and let me plan your life. Rejection is really permanent. And I'm sure it would be safe to say that Campbell Morgan proved that fact and then some. Even in this life, circumstances changed. How incredible to think, for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that we'll never be rejected by him. That we'll never hear those awful words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. When you know Christ as your Savior, you'll never face that rejection. The Holy Spirit that lives within us is our source of power and strength and blessing. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Joseph had victory over his rejection. But not only that, there was another circumstance in Joseph's life where he had the victory. He had victory over temptation. And verse 7 of chapter 39, it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. Not only did Joseph face an emotional battle by being rejected by his brothers, he also faced a physical battle whilst being tempted by Potiphar's wife as she threw herself at him sexually day after day. But Joseph was victorious, and he refused to succumb to that temptation. He refused in verse 8 and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he committeth all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Battles come and go. Joseph was victorious again in this circumstance in his life with part of his wife's enticements. But just because he refused the first time, it didn't mean that that was it straight away, the victory was won, because her temptation of him was relentless. It came to pass in verse 10 of Genesis 39, as she spake to Joseph day by day. You know, sometimes we win a particular victory over a temptation, and then it'd be easy for us to let our guard down. If Joseph had let his guard down, if he won that particular victory, and then said, "Whoa, you know, I'm a giant of a man now. I've conquered that battle. This is great." He wouldn't have been prepared for the next temptation. His guard would have been down. You know, this wasn't just one fleeting look and, you know, a passing comment by part of his wife to say, oh, you know, do you want to mess around type of thing? This was relentless, day by day, one temptation after another, after another, after another. The last time that she would confront him, Joseph fled. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. How clever Satan is. You know, when there's a crowd, it's easy then to take the moral high ground, to take the right path spiritually in the right crowd. Part of his wife is clever. All the other servants are gone. There's no one around. It's at those moments we can be at our most vulnerable. Joseph is alone. He's young. He's away from home. How many times do youngsters who started off so well in church fall when they're away from home, when they go to university, when parents are not around to keep an eye and to make sure that they're still doing the right thing? But Joseph did. Joseph wasn't going to allow this temptation to cause him to fall. It took courage to say no. Do you know what? It takes courage for our kids to say, no, I don't want to have that drink. No, I don't want to start smoking. No, I don't want to have sex before marriage. No, it takes courage for our youngsters, for our church youngsters to say that, because what society thinks of them is they're weird. Huh? Why don't you drink? Why don't you smoke? Why don't you sleep around? That's just odd. No. That's actually normal. It took courage for Joseph to say no. He could have justified it. This was part of his wife. This was, for all intents and purposes, his master's wife. If she commanded him to do that, what else could he have done? It was a command. He would have to have done it, surely. But no, that would have sinned against God. It took courage and determination for Joseph to fight this battle. And he explains, no, I'm not going to do this. You are another man's wife. That man is my master. I'm trusted by my master. I don't want to violate that trust. Even if nobody else found out about it, Why would I do this wickedness and sin, not against Potiphar, but sin against God? As Joseph fled, Potiphar's wife catches hold of his garment. What does Paul say to Timothy? That there are times when we need to flee also youthful lusts. There are times when fleeing is an evidence of courage and integrity. For the second time in Joseph's life, he lost a garment. He lost a garment at his rejection when his brothers stole it and tore it up and dipped it in blood and told the father, their father, that he was dead. And now he loses his garment again. But as one Puritan preacher said, Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. Since Potiphar was involved in the Egyptian judicial system, why wasn't Joseph executed? Did Potiphar know how promiscuous his wife was when the cat's away, so to speak? Did Potiphar know how much Joseph had integrity? Did Potiphar know how different Joseph was because of his relationship with God? I'm sure Potiphar could have done far worse to Joseph than simply put him in jail. And we understand that God was with him. God was in control. For Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Joseph had the victory over temptation because he made the right decision, because he was right with God in his heart. He had the right behavior because he had the right beliefs. Joseph had the victory over temptation because he didn't want to break God's heart, regardless of what he would do to Potiphar. He didn't want to break God's heart. His relationship to God was far more important than anything else. Joseph had the victory over temptation because the presence of God was so real in Joseph's life. Joseph knew how to say yes to God and no to sin. It's ironic that the real slave in this story is not Joseph in Potiphar's house. The real slave in this story is actually Potiphar's wife. She's a slave to her own lusts and to her own sin. Joseph avoided the temptation as much as he could. You know, sometimes people get burnt today because they play with fire. Don't put yourself in the situation in the first place. Proverbs 14:15 says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Joseph had victory over temptation. Is our relationship with the Lord important enough for us not to want to break God's heart when it comes to temptation? We can have the victory. Ah, but I couldn't help myself. Of course you can. Joseph, above anybody, could have said, I couldn't help myself. There was nothing I could do. God won't put us in a position of temptation where he won't provide a way of escape. Satan always tempts. God always tests. Adamant about doing right, Joseph's mind was made up, and he did right. And he claimed the victory. Can I say this, that every single one of us can have the victory over the temptations, and each temptation might be different. You know, some of us may never, ever, ever be tempted, by alcohol or drugs or anything, but then somebody else who has come from that lifestyle might struggle with that temptation their whole lives. Somebody who's been saved from that particular life. That might be their Achilles heel, that might be their stumbling block, that might be their temptation. Yeah, I remember, Brother Dave Bennett has preached here a number of times, and you know, he was up in Anasia. I think he got saved. If I'm right, if I can remember his testimony, I think he got saved in Temple upon the Greg. I think that's where Gillian went, his wife. But anyway, Dave Bennett struggled with alcohol. He was an alcoholic, and he even now, after years and years and years of you know, being freed of those shackles, said that he couldn't eat any food, even if it was just cooked in any kind of alcohol.
Didn't matter if the alcohol was burned away or cooked away, or it didn't matter what it was. He didn't want to take that chance, just in case. That's what it means to flee from those areas that would tempt us. We can have the victory in those areas of our lives. And maybe a particular temptation for you is different to the temptation of the person next to you. But we can't use the excuse, I couldn't help it. That excuse will never work with God, because God will always provide a way of escape, even if it means fleeing. Can I say this? It's better to lose your coat than to lose your character. Sometimes running away is the best option. And then finally, we see that Joseph had victory over oppression. In verse 20 of chapter 39, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. The Bible tells us that Joseph was bound in the prison. He had lost his liberty. He was held against his will. I am sure that this is not the picture he had in his mind when he had those dreams back in Genesis chapter 37. You know, when he saw the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to his star, and when he saw the sheaves of corn bowing down to his sheaf, I'm sure that this is not the picture that he had in mind to be locked up in prison. This was a place of hardship. This was a place of pain. This was a place of suffering. And that's often the case in our lives as well. And there are times when everything around us seems to fall apart. There are times when just one thing after another just keeps knocking the wind out of our sails. And the moment we get over one hurdle, there's another one in our path. And the minute we get one little victory in our spiritual walk, there's another battle that comes our way. And it's almost as if we just can't get enough air. You ever been, in the sea when it's been quite rough, and you've kind of started to walk out into the water, and then the waves come, and you get out to a point where you can no longer really touch the floor, and you're going with the waves, and then the wave goes out, and you just get your feet to touch the ground, and before you can take a breath of air, another wave comes over you, and then you try and get your foot in, and before you can get back up and take it, sometimes that's what the Christian life feels like. Just one wave after another, after another, after another keeps smashing into us, and we think, I just can't catch my breath. Job went through something similar. Just one thing after another. And he said himself, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Doesn't it just seem sometimes that our life is full of trouble? And you just think, You get over that hurdle, you claim that victory, you just think, I don't want to get excited because I just feel like something's coming next. In these experiences of life, we just fear that things will get worse and worse. And they're not fun times. These are not times that we feel like we can rejoice, but they're a part of life. No one is exempt from trouble. None of us. However, in this prison, in this time of oppression in Joseph's life, he is going to learn some powerful lessons. In verse 21, but... I don't know how many times I've said this. In the 15 years that I've been here as the pastor, I've said I'm going to do a series on the buts of the Bible. I just love them. It just changes direction. Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And there was he in the prison. But stop what you're doing. Let's change directions. But the Lord was with him. How incredible. In that prison, Joseph would feel the presence of the Lord like never before. That's the difference between the child of God and the rest of the world. We will still face the same kind of struggles that the rest of the world faces, but whereas they face it on their own, we never face anything on our own. When we come to those times in lives where that wave keeps crashing on top of us and we feel like we can't get our breath, it's at those times we need to rely upon the Lord to simply pick us up and get our head above the water, as it were. But the Lord is with us. That's the difference. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When Joseph was first sold into slavery, he must have felt to him that all those dreams that he had dreamed as a younger man had meant absolutely nothing. How many times have you thought at some point in your Christian life, what is going on? How many of us initially thought that by becoming a Christian, all our problems would like suddenly just go away? And this would be an easy ride. This would be an easy life. I wonder if Joseph had any of these battles that he faced, any of these circumstances that came his way, thought, this doesn't feel like the dream I dreamt back when I was like 17. This is just not going according to plan. Can I say this? That things don't always go according to our plan, but things will always go according to God's plan. God knew what he was doing with Joseph. But it's at these low points in our lives, it's at these times when we are oppressed, it's at these times, if you like, when we are facing these prison experiences where we feel locked in and hemmed in and bound, as it were, that the devil comes alongside us and says, well, if God really cares about you, why are you going through this? If God really loves you, why are you going through this? You trusted God, and what happened? Trouble. Can I say this? Just be mindful that the devil is a liar. Christ said, you're of your father the devil, and he was a liar. He is the father of lies. Don't listen to him. If you want to combat the devil's lies, you turn to God's truth. And God's truth will remind you that he'll never forsake you. God's truth will remind you how much he loves you. God's truth will remind you that you're not alone. God's truth will remind you that he knows exactly what we're going through. For we have not a high priest, Hebrews 4:15 says, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When we face those lonely times, when it feels like God has forgotten us, we need to remember that he hasn't. That he's there with us in our prison experiences. He's there with us in our most lonely times. He's there with us in our most difficult times. That he will never leave us and never forsake us. In this prison, God proved himself to Joseph. Joseph recognized God's presence. He recognized his provision. He recognized his purpose. He realized his power. You know, when we go through the difficulties in life, that's when we learn the greatest lessons. It's like riding a bike. The greatest lesson you learn when riding a bike is coming off it. Because you don't want to make that mistake again. So you learn how to point it in the right direction. So you recognize really quickly that if you stop pedaling, your momentum's going to stop and you're going to fall over. That's when you learn the greatest lessons. Spiritually speaking, the greatest lessons we learn is when we fall off the bike. When we go through times of difficulty, when we have to rely upon the Lord, when we have to plead before the Lord, when we have to fall on our knees and pray like we've never prayed before because we can't cope with what we're facing. That's the times that we grow the most. That's the times that we learn the most. Think about it. If Daniel had never gone to the lion's den, he would never known of God's power over the lions. The three Hebrews would not have learned that God was able to deliver them in the fire unless they'd been thrown in the furnace. The disciples never would have known that Jesus could still the storm unless they were in the midst of it. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus would never have understood that Jesus was the resurrection and the life if Lazarus had never died. Unless we go through these difficulties, we don't always understand what God can do. Joseph was able to have the victory over the oppression, over this oppression, over this prison time of his life, because he remained faithful. In verse 22 of Genesis 39, it says, "The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." Verse 23, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him." God used Joseph greatly in that prison. Chapters 40 and chapters 41 tells us that Joseph glorified God while he was there, and God used him to touch the lives of the other prisoners. Eventually, the day would come. God had all of this in place. God had all of this in motion, as it were. Joseph is in prison, bound, as it were. And then there's a meeting with two of Pharaoh's servants. They both had dreams. Joseph interpreted the dream. We recognize that the baker was going to be executed after 3 days, and the butler was going to be restored to Pharaoh's service. Joseph was in the right place at the right time because of what God had planned for Joseph. If Joseph had not been rejected by his brothers, if Joseph had not been tempted by Potiphar's wife, if Joseph had never been oppressed by the prison, Joseph would have never have interpreted the butler's dream and would never have been placed in a position of prominence in Egypt. What we need to understand is that the Lord used the trials that Joseph experienced to prepare him for the palace service. God put him in the prison. He had him in the right place at the right time. Unless you think about it, where Joseph went from, he went from a prisoner to being the prime minister of Egypt. All because of the battles that he faced, because of the circumstances that he endured. Through the trials, Joseph learned compassion on others. He learned all that he needed to be elevated to that position of prominence in Egypt. And you think about it, you look at the stages of his life. In Genesis 37, he was placed over an assignment. Go and see how your brothers are doing. In Genesis 39, he was placed over a household. In Genesis 39 and then verse 22 and 23, he was placed over a prison. And then in Genesis chapter 41, he was placed over a nation. Joseph was victorious. When you look at Joseph's life, it had the potential to be a disaster. It had the potential to be a life of defeat. He was rejected by his brothers. He was subjected by Potiphar's wife, and he was dejected in the prison. But victoriously, he was trajected by God. We just need to hold on to that, to recognize that we can have the victory. I don't know what battle you were facing today. I understand that lots of us are facing a similar battle with these lockdowns. But there are other people who are facing far worse. There are people facing things that we could never comprehend or understand. And sometimes people pour their hearts out and you think, I just don't even know what to say. I don't even know what advice to give. I just don't know how you can cope with that. But as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't ever have to cope with anything, because the Lord has promised to give us his strength when we need it. The Lord has promised to help us in a time of difficulty. The Lord has already given us the victory that we need. Joseph was victorious over the circumstances of his life. We don't need to let life circumstances destroy us or even define us. We don't need to let life circumstances defeat us. There will be times in our lives where we're rejected, but we can have the victory because God is in control. There'll be times when we're tempted, but we can have the victory because we have God's presence. There'll be times when we're oppressed. There'll be times when we feel like we talked about this morning, about when Paul said he is pressed down and he is troubled on every side. There will be times like that in our lives where we feel like we're bound. But that's when we'll recognize God's power in our lives. We can have the victory. God has saved us to be victorious Christians. So let's claim the victory. I'm not talking about, you know, a wishy-washy name it and claim it, and let's just, you know, 1, 2, 3 say after me and everything will be all right. But what I'm talking about is recognizing God's presence in our lives, understanding the importance of God's precepts in our lives, recognizing the amazing power of God in our lives. We can have the victory. Why? Because it's already been won. God has told us that. That victory is ours. Let's claim it as believers in Christ. And let's have that victory over every circumstance that comes our way in life. Because God is with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. And Father, I just pray that whatever the battle is that anybody is facing right now, maybe there's someone here tonight, Lord, who is struggling with a particular rejection or a temptation or an oppression or whatever it might be. Maybe somebody listening online tonight, Lord, is struggling with an emotional battle or a physical battle or a mental battle. Father, I just pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd help us to recognize that the victory is there for us. I pray that you'd help us to realize that even in those deepest, darkest moments of our lives where we feel bound and almost locked up, as it were, in prison, spiritually speaking, mentally speaking, emotionally speaking, I pray that you'd help us to recognize, like Joseph did, that you are with us. Father, I pray that you would enable us have the victory in all the circumstances of our lives. Not that we might be glorified, not that we might take credit, but that God would receive all the glory because you are worthy. So Father, I just pray you'd help us tonight. Thank you again for the opportunity to come around your word. And we pray you'd continue to bless our time together tonight. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, the Musgroves are going to come and sing for us tonight. Now our final hymn, and then following that, Alice, I wonder if you would... Are you singing tonight? Okay. I wonder if you'd close us in a word of prayer then. Thanks, Alistair.